Well, we've got open lines for you now. 3 hours of open lines and a special hotline. I'm going to tell you about that now. You know, on Coast to Coast, over the years, we have scared you. We have made some of you cry. Tonight, we're going to try, at least, to make you laugh. Now, we're not going to tell jokes, and I don't want you to call this special topic line to tell us jokes. But what I do want to hear from you is an event in your life that truly made you laugh. And I'll tell you why. Human beings love to laugh. And the average adult laughs 17 times a day. I did not know that. And first of all, they say that laughter is not the same as humor. So don't think it is. Laughter is the psychological response to humor. And laughter consists of two parts. It's a set of gestures and the production of a sound. And when we laugh, the brain pressures us to conduct both activities simultaneously. When we laugh heartedly, changes occur in many parts of the body, even the arm, leg, trunk, and other areas. A philosopher, John Morrell, believes that the first human laughter may have begun as a gesture of shared relief at the passing of danger. How many times does that happen? And we do laugh, we do giggle. Many researchers believe that the purpose of laughter is related to making and strengthening human connections. What I'd like you to listen to for a moment is just a brief clip that our staff here at Coast to Coast have assembled for you, because I think when you hear them, you will laugh. I think what you're about ready to hear will be various forms of laughter, because all of them have emotions behind it. Everyone has a distinct laugh. You've heard it before as well. So here's a special line for you to tell us what event in your life made you laugh like that. 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. I call this the laugh line. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, open lines, and of course we've got the laugh line where Tommy is back in L.A., probably busting his gut, taking your calls. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. George? I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
Texas, actually.
All right. Take it away.
I just wanted to call in with a story. I had seen about a month and a half ago, I saw the story on Headline News about the Chicago O'Hare UFO incident. And they had mentioned it happened November 7th, and I was
right.
I was looking at my wife. It's like, weren't we in Chicago November 7th? And our plane actually, we were flying back from Japan, and our plane landed at 4:12 p.m. And I guess the reporter said the sighting happened at 4:15. And the funny thing is, I didn't see the UFO, but just imagining that I was stuck in customs while there was a UFO hovering over the airport just drove the heck out of me.
Oh, I know it. Incredible. You probably couldn't wait to get to the phone. I got to call Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
You know, they had that donut-shaped cloud, too, where this UFO apparently just popped right through it.
Well,
and
the funny thing is, I have an uncle who said he saw a UFO when he was a teenager, and he said he saw, well, it happened in Lubbock, Texas, and he said they saw like a metallic sphere in the sky while he was working on a car, and he turned around and he looked back at it and it was gone, but there was a hole in the cloud. And I was like, maybe that's a standard thing, you know?
Well, it might be. I mean, they probably have some kind of vortex with their propulsion system, and I think they affect the clouds that way. And if you remember, some of the movies with the incredible UFO visitations, especially Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Do you remember when they were hiding, Richard Dreyfuss and the woman, they were hiding on the side of the mountain looking down at the technology as they were waiting for the UFO to show up? And they turned around, and there was this massive cloud pattern. It just came rumbling by. Some people believe that UFOs have the ability to create clouds when they are approaching. So that's also another possibility. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, and who are you?
Chris from Corinth, Mississippi.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I was wondering if you thought that maybe a group of people together telling ghost stories made them more perceptible to experiences.
Maybe. I think people get more tuned in the more they talk about and understand the particular phenomenon that they're dealing with. I think that's a very high probability. Is that what happens to you? You have a group of friends?
A group of friends, about five of us were together, and we were at a friend's house, and her daughter was asleep in her bedroom about 40 feet away from us. And we were all telling, you know, just random ghost stories. And all of a sudden, the radio in their room turns on, and it's blaring, and we could hear it perfectly. And it was a very sultry-sounding voice saying something along the lines of, experience your most gruesome fantasies or something like that. I don't really remember what it said, but I do remember the phone number that it gave. And I won't give the phone number, but the prefix was 666.
Oh, no.
And I've actually called that number a couple of times since then, and I never get anything. And I've looked it up, and there's not a prefix for that anywhere in the United States.
Not on this planet.
No.
But there is someplace else. We know that, don't we? Let's go to our laugh line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes. So what do you got for us?
Okay, George. Well, I'm a fisherman. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. Buddy of mine and I from, we fished since we were kids. And basically what happened is this guy always did things overkill. I mean, this guy bought like a 14-foot pole, 60-pound test line, put this huge sinker at the end, and he's going to really cast out there. Well, he cocks back and he lets this thing go, and we're both standing at the end of the pier like idiots looking to see how far this thing's going, and the line's just peeling off the rail. Well, after a bit of time, the sinker ends up hitting the pier about 5 foot behind us. We started laughing. We said, I told this guy, you're the only guy that I knew that could cast in the negative. It was crazy. But thank you, George. Really enjoy your show.
All right. Thank you, too. And that's what we're doing. It's the laugh line tonight, and that's 818-817-0021. Does not restrict you to call the other lines as well with your laugh story, and does not restrict you at all to call about something else, because this is open line night. But I thought it's time for a little, you know, little lightness tonight on the program. It does get to be kind of heavy after a while. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Good morning.
Hello, Mr. Norrie. I have to apologize, because my story is anything but light or funny.
Okay, and we shall try not to giggle at it, of course.
My name is William. Currently, I'm calling from Georgia, but I'm heading south. What I've called to tell you tonight is exactly what the Illuminati is and exactly why there's so much unrest in the world today. The Illuminati is run, Red Elk got it the closest. It is run by reptilian aliens. The Council on Foreign Relations, I know you've mentioned it. I wanted to tell you that they are no way directly involved. It is just a feeder league, along with the Masons, the Rosicrucians, any other secret society you can think of. Eventually, those who make it go all the way up to the Illuminati. Mm. Where the unrest comes in is, for the first time ever, they have allowed non-purebred reptilian aliens to be on the ruling council. Since the beginning, there's only been one vision for the Illuminati, just one. Until recently, it's separated into factions, much like politics.
What was the initial vision?
The initial vision was to cultivate humanity to do their dirty work for them. It's a horrible story, George.
We'd be like the worker bees for them.
Exactly. That's all we were to them. It's written in most of the ancient texts. I'm not going to quote anything directly. That's not what I'm calling about. What I'm telling you is for the first time in human history, there's political infighting and warring in the upper ranks of what rules the world. That is why there is so much unrest. Everyone's getting a different message.
What are they fighting about? What do they want to do? They want to obviously alter the plan?
Yes. The ones that are not purebred, you've heard of hybrids, I'm sure.
Yes.
They are now allowed to have the same rank as the purebreds have, and they don't hold the same views because they are part human. You understand? They
So they're a little more benevolent, I guess?
Yes, they care about humanity. The purebreds see us as nothing more than robots to do their bidding. But the hybrids, they know that humans have, you know, the hybrids call themselves superiors, by the way.
So there's this internal struggle going on now.
Exactly, and that is where the unrest is coming from, because the different world governments are getting different messages. At this point, the world governments are surprising each other from what they're doing, because they're not off the same playbook anymore.
Now,
is coming from.
You must tell me, how has this knowledge come to you?
I was an initiate. I never got in because I would not participate in human sacrifice, which is
Are you a reptilian?
No, you don't need to be a reptilian. I wasn't going to be on the council. Do you understand?
Okay.
You don't need to be a reptilian to be on the council. I was once a member of the CFR, and like I said, it's a feeder league. I got there. I just would not commit human sacrifice, which is...
In your opinion, how is this going to all unfold?
It's either going to unfold where I'm hoping, George, they've literally killed me. I'm not going to be around much longer. I hope that they're going to implode, and it's looking that way.
Well,
and if they implode, I don't know what'll happen, but I'll tell you that humanity will have a chance to govern itself for the first time in history, in time.
Well, then that's a good thing if that happens. But you take care of yourself and watch your back. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Great show tonight.
I'm looking forward to more of our laugh line tonight.
Well, actually, the reason I'm calling tonight, I wanted to know if you've heard of the book Unexplained Almanac, or the website, therefore.
Unexplained Almanac? I have not.
Well, it's actually really interesting. A friend turned me on to it the other day, and recommend checking it out. I think your listeners would love it, too.
Well, we always have to screen it first before we publicize it to the millions.
Okay.
But give me a highlight. What's so neat about this?
It's taking eyewitness accounts from the public and releasing it to the public without any filtering.
Straight. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. And I just thought your listeners would enjoy something.
So
like
how do we know we can trust the person or the persons who are sending it through?
That's a good question, I guess. How do we know we can trust anyone, I guess? I don't have the answer for that.
Yeah, we always have to be wary. Poor old John McCain, for example, somebody got into his MySpace spot and started playing with it, hacked into it. They've admitted it, but changed some of his views on some subject matter. And for a while, it was a mess for him. Dangerous. Let's go to the laugh line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Good morning.
See, you're chipper. You're ready to laugh.
Well, I'm at work. This is Will in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
Second time caller. Okay, this story just totally made me lose control, and I just had to laugh. I was in Edinburgh, Scotland a couple of years ago on the Royal Mile, and I went to a souvenir shop. And the gentleman behind the counter, you know, red hair, he looked like Groundskeeper Willie, but with more hair. This customer comes in and says, "Excuse me, can you tell me where the Scottish store is?" And the guy was a little racist, and he goes, "Oh, the bleeping Scottish store full of bleeping packies." I think, well, this guy's going to be racist. I'll go take my business to the Scottish store.
Sure.
I go there, and I look in the window, and I see a man. He's obviously Pakistani. He's wearing a turban, and he's got, like, a Nouveau Nehru jacket. You know, I guess I kind of had some, like, subdued racial thoughts, thinking he was going to talk like, hello, welcome to my new establishment. I go in there. The guy, the friendliest man in the world, looks me square in the eye, and he goes, hey, welcome to the Scottish store. How can I help you? When I left that store, I just had to sit down and laugh my head off. And I wasn't laughing at him. I was laughing at me for my preconceived racist notions about this. And I had never laughed so hard in my life because the voice just did not fit the man.
Well, and you know, it's funny you say that because, and it's, I don't think it's a preconceived racist notions, because I've done this too, where somebody of a certain ethnicity, where you know they have a specific accent in their home country or their country that their parents might have been born in, but we don't realize that this guy or this gal was born in the country that they have this brand new accent from.
Exactly. I mean, the man was not Pakistani. The man was a Scot through and through. He
no
just
doubt.
Happened to be of Pakistani descent, and he happened
exactly.
to embrace his culture.
Exactly. And it is, you know what, the other thing too that amazes me at how these people who sing songs, but they have, when they speak, this incredible accent from the origin of their country, but they sing, it's perfect English. It's incredible.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, though. I live in South Texas, and we're a predominantly Hispanic area down here. And that one experience actually changed my life entirely. I mean, normally, like, if you see a black man or Hispanic, you think to yourself, that's a black man, that's a Hispanic man. You see a white person, oh, that's just a guy. I don't even try to even think like that anymore. When I see someone now, it's just, that's just a man, that's just a woman. And you try to get all those notions out of your head. Even though you say you're not racist, you do have those in the back of your head. And I tell you, even though it was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen, it had a profound effect on my life.
Well, you know what, and that's the way to think, and that's the way to treat your children and to teach your children. And, you know, this started 40-some years ago, and hopefully this generation is so far more advanced. And then the next generation, it gets better and better. And maybe one day, people will look at each other and realize that we're just human beings, with an occasional hybrid once in a while. If you need to email me, let's make it very simple. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. Here's that laugh line again, which we're going to keep open for you all night, 818-817-0021. You know, we're going to be basically closing out the month of March tonight for the program, even though tomorrow or this morning is Saturday, March 31st. And at the end of the show tonight, we're going to just run, because this has been an incredible month for us, Arts Lifetime Achievement Award, just Arts portion of it. So those of you who have emailed me over the last several weeks wanting copies of it, if you have your VersaCorder at home and the ability to tape or to record, it'll be at the end of the program tonight. It runs about 6.5 minutes, and it's pretty historical. Absolutely incredible month it has been for all of us here at Coast to Coast. So we will continue with open lines all night long. We've got the laugh line. We've got the other lines open for you. The staff is sitting back and ready to roll for you. So just fire away and make it happen. A lot of you have asked for 3 straight hours of open lines. Tonight, you will get it. Well, Friday into Saturday, it's time to say hello to those of you listening on your favorite radio stations all throughout North America. Hello to you. Kind of interesting to, you know, being back in St. Louis where we're on affiliate KTRS. Ran into a lot of friends who listen to that radio station. My 10th anniversary coming up in September on the Big 550, as a matter of fact. Hello, Streamlink members, Coast Writers that you are. Thank you for everything you do and the support of the program. Those of you listening to XM Satellite, a little hearty hello to you. And then the various chat rooms that really care about Coast to Coast, the NighthawkZone.com folks, where they've brought the word fun back into listening, the Imaginative Worlds folks, Sorcery IRC, the National Radio Club, Into Infinity, the Frog with 2 G's Forum, and also the other various chat rooms, Yahoo Chats and There's a MySpace chat room. Everybody's just rolling along, listening to the program and having some fun. Thank you so much for being part of Coast to Coast AM. And back to the phones we go. Let's take the laugh line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, how you doing? This is Giannis out in Houston, Texas.
Hey, Giannis. Great. Thank you.
Man, I've got to start by saying, Cześć Piotrek, it's Polish for hi, Peter, to my best friend or ex-best friend. Haven't seen him in so long. He has been such a great source of humor for a lot of us over the years. He is now married and gone. You know how that goes sometimes. Well, back in the day when I was living in Northern California, a bunch of us decided we were going to go to, as 25-year-old men, we were going to hop into a minivan and go to Chuck E. Cheese, have some pizza, and play some video games. So we do that. We go out, have our fun, get our fill worth of pizza and video games. And we decided we're going to hop up on the freeway and go back home. So our buddy Gopal has borrowed his father's minivan and is driving. Sitting behind Gopal is Peter. And I am sitting next to Peter in that second seat back there. In the very back seat is my buddy Marcus. And in the front passenger seat is another one of Gopal's friends.
Okay.
The conversation goes on. We're on 101 northbound, doing probably 70 miles an hour. And the conversation gets funny. And something was said, and it doesn't even matter what was said anymore. Peter starts laughing, and all of us start laughing uncontrollably. And you know how sometimes when you laugh so hard, you get one of those burps and a laugh together?
Yeah,
well,
I've done that.
Unfortunately, Peter, sitting behind Gopal, regurgitated all over the back of Gopal's head. And this started an uproarious laughter so bad that I'm an asthmatic. And Marcus and I start laughing so hard, we can't even speak. There's no noise coming out. Our stomachs are killing us. And then I have a massive asthma attack on top of this.
Oh, no.
And we're driving down the freeway, and Gopal is freaking out. Not only is this stuff on the back of his head, but it's his father's minivan. And all he can think of is, oh, my God, get it off my head. Or, oh, my God, you've got to clean my father's minivan. And the way he freaked out made the whole thing so much worse. After that, we finally got off the freeway. We had to pull over. Marcus and myself were crying. We could barely speak for probably half an hour. Our stomachs hurt so bad. And it was like working out a big ab workout for 2 days. Our stomachs hurt so bad. And that was one of the two times I've laughed the hardest in my life, thanks to Peter. To this day, it's just still one of my best stories. And it's one of those things where it was so incredible when you were there to be a witness to this whole thing.
I love laughing sometimes so hard you start to cry.
It was painful in the stomach and painful in the mind because you're crying. And that's one of those things that just sticks with you for a lifetime.
Well, you know, Tommy was on a book signing. I'm not going to tell the story because it's a very weird one. But he said something to someone in line waiting to get our book signed. And it was the funniest line for the moment I have ever heard. It was just the way he said it and the way the guy looked at him. And I started laughing. Here I'm signing Worker in the Light. And I started laughing. And people who are in line, maybe 100 feet away, all they can see me is laughing and tears coming down my eyes. And Tom's laughing. And it was absolutely hilarious. There are moments like that that are some of the most precious whenever you laugh. And it could be at any moment. You can't predict it. That line, though, that laugh line is 818-817-0021. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Is this George?
It sure is.
It's a great thing, man. You're the greatest.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
you and Art are like the greatest.
We do the best we can. Thanks for calling, by the way.
You know, by the way, I've listened to Art like in the 80s and everything. I want to keep it like short, but I've seen a lot of things in my life. You know, I've seen demons, I've seen ghosts. I don't know, you know, why I've seen this or whatever, but I've seen it, you know, and I know it to be true.
It is true. There's no doubt in my mind. And in your particular case, do you see it more and more or has it slowed
down? No. Now that I'm getting older. Basically it was like when I was younger, you know, I can go on and on. I don't want to like keep up the lines and take up all your time or whatever. But one case I give you, when I seen a demon, I was on my way to work. I lived on a street called St. Joan, right across from the church. And I used to take a shortcut, and I used to take a street called Shady Lane. And the reason why the street was called Shady Lane is because they had, like, a lot of trees, you know.
Sure.
It was really like a dark street. Well, I went across the midsection, and I looked, and I thought I seen a kid, you know, like crossing the street. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, this is maybe 5:30 in the morning. And, you know, I put my high beams on and stuff, you know. I was like 10 feet from the thing. And this thing was probably about 3.5 feet tall. And it just stopped there, and it looked at me. And it was like an ash dark color. You know, it was very muscular. You know, it had like forearms and muscles in the legs. And, you know, I mean, it was unbelievable. I was like in shock. I stopped my car. I was just sitting there as this thing just like stood there looking at me.
Did you think for a moment somebody's wearing a costume?
No, not at all. No. This was like, it was a darker ash than like anything I've seen. I mean, it was still dark out, you know, and this thing was so dark, it was unbelievable. But I mean, a block and a half away, I could see it, no problem. And I thought it was a kid. And I stopped the car maybe two car like lengths away from it, and it looked at itself. I mean, it looked like at its legs and its arms, and it was like, this person can see me, you know. For real.
It was in shock as you were looking at it.
Right. Like, it couldn't believe I could see it. Right? And like I said, the street name was Shady Lane, and every house was dark except one house had a light on it, you know, in like the living room. And as I turned around and I sat there for a minute, like in shock, you know, I'm on my way to work, you know, I mean...
Great way to start the day, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, I was freaked out, you know. And it just proceeded to go to this house with this light, with this window, you know, that the only light on in the whole, you know, on the whole street that I could see. And it jumped up. This thing was 3.5 feet tall. It jumped up to maybe like 5.5 feet, and it pulled itself up to this brick window. And looked in, and at that time, it turned day, and it just vanished. It just totally vanished.
Had it made its way into the house? I've got to ask you this. And you saw
it was peeking through the window.
No, I know, but if it did go inside, would you have knocked on the door to try to wake those people up?
No, I was like so shocked and so in like misbelief, like this. Like happened that no, I didn't even like consider it. I was like on my way to work, and I was behind, you know, I was like running behind because I stopped for this thing. But like it pulled itself up into the window. It was like peeking through the window. And at that time it became daybreak, and it just mystically disappeared.
Yeah. It just vaporized.
And it was like, so, you know, I tell a few people, like, close to my family about that, you know. And they look at me like probably I'm nuts or whatever, you know. But, I mean, I swear, like, on my mom's grave, you know. I mean,
you've got to tell me, what was your day of work after that?
I guess, like, I was, like, in, like, kind of like a daze, you know. I mean, I did see other things, like, in my lifetime. Like, when I was younger, like I said, I seen a ghost. You know, I mean, not like an orb or, you know, I used to look at Art Bell's, you know, webpage and that when I had a computer before my divorce and all that good stuff, but.
And see all those pictures and orbs. Well, you know what? To me, it also sounds like what you saw might have been like one of these gremlins. Remember the Twilight Zone movie where you saw that gremlin hanging on the wing? Now, that wasn't a real muscular looking thing, but it still has that kind of look. And I'll always remember that scene when he looked inside the window. I think John Lithgow played that part in the Twilight Zone movie. And I think it was William Shatner, in the Twilight Zone movie. Thanks for the call. Let's take a few more. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, this is Derek in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Great to talk to you tonight. You're
listening to us on WISN.
Exactly. All right. So I came to talk to you tonight about coincidences. And I know you've, on the air, made it a point to say that you don't believe in coincidences.
No, sir, I do not.
That there's something about them that speaks to you, right? And my question is when these coincidences occur, how do you respond to them? I mean, how do you act?
Well, I would first of all say when these episodes occur, because I can't say when these coincidences occur, how do I act? Because I don't believe they occur. I don't believe they're I think everything happens for a reason. If you could give me an example, I'll tell you why I don't think it's a coincidence.
Okay, now here's an example. So you have a dream one night of an old friend. Okay, the next day you have a phone call from this person. How do you respond to that?
And you probably hadn't talked to that person in how long?
Years.
Yep. To me, you two somehow are tapped into what I've always called the wireless internet in the universe. We're all connected, but for some reason, in that moment of time, maybe in your dream state, you were hooked in on him, he was hooked in on you, and it clicked, it hit. And at that very moment, he wakes up and goes, hey, I got to call my buddy. And
right?
You're already thinking of him, and that's what happens. Now, a lot of people would say, well, no, that's just a coincidence. One in a zillion. It wouldn't happen again. I think those things happen for a reason.
Do you think there's any connection with that and lucid dreams?
Well, a lucid dream is a dream where you know you're dreaming. So you're dreaming, and you know that this is a dream in your dream. It's almost as if you're watching a television show.
Right.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with lucid dreaming. I think it has to do with you and possibly your friend tapping into this connection. It's there. And you will find that you'll do this more and more and more to the point where it just drives you crazy. And in some cases, if you use it properly, it'll save your tail from some rough situations. I mean, like possible car accidents and things like that. You'll get that.
I often feel that I have these premonitions, but I don't know how to interpret them. You know,
it's too late.
Is it literally a gut feeling, or is it something in the heart or in the mind? Because sometimes I get a tingling sensation in my head when I feel, you know, you feel that something is happening, but I don't know. How do you read that?
I think your whole body becomes attuned to what's going on. Your heart, mm-hmm. your brain, your organs, your entire nervous system, all of it gets tuned into it. And, you know, the physical and the non-physical, it's all part of the same. It's all matter. It's all energy. And
yeah, we're all connected. It's one and the same.
Absolutely. And the more you keep thinking about this and talking about it, the more tuned you're going to get. I promise you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and Art a lot talk about, you know, Art especially, the quickening. You know, we're getting closer to 2012, and consciousness is, they're being awakened. We're all getting closer to one another. We can, I don't know, George, like, I'm a young adult. I'm 22 years old, and I'm having a hard time seeing if it's just me becoming an adult or if I'm really, like, feeling these connections with people. So I don't know. What do you think?
When I was your age, I thought that being 56 was a million years away, and it isn't anymore. And now I think, my God, 10 years from now, I'll be 66. 10 years from then, I'll be 76. And it really is a quickening. It goes by very, very fast. So that's why I've also taken the philosophy, and everybody should, is to make every day as if it's your last. Because who knows if you're going to go to sleep one night and simply never wake up. I think about that a lot. Sometimes I think about that too much, but it's true. And when you wake up in the morning, you should just look out the window, whether it's raining, sunny, it doesn't matter, because you're around to see that day, and that's what you should do. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
I was telling your call screener that I had a weird dream that made me laugh when I was a kid.
What was that?
Well, it started out with me watching myself in a movie theater all by myself, and then the movie started, and it was like a trailer, and it said something like, you've seen Michael Myers, and you hear the Michael Myers theme, and you hear that music from Halloween, and then you see Michael Myers, and then it fades out, and you hear it. It's that guy in the TV show, too, that you always hear the announcer voice in my dream, and he's like, and you've also seen Jason, and you hear the Jason music, and you see Jason's mask, and it says, and you know about Freddy Krueger, and then you see Freddy Krueger and the claws, and then it fades to black, and it says, but you've never seen anything so horrifying as this. And then the letters start showing up on the screen very slowly, dripping in blood, and it says the Care Bears the movie. And it just panned back to me sitting in the theater in the dream, and I'm laughing my butt off, and I'm just laughing, and then I just kind of like faded back into the darkness, and I woke up, and I was laughing when I woke up, and it must have been like 2-3 in the morning, and I'm just laughing, and I couldn't stop. It was just such a ridiculous dream, and I kept thinking, my parents are probably wondering, why the hell am I laughing in the middle of the night, you know?
Did you ever wake up in your sleep laughing?
That's the only time I ever did it.
So you just pop up and you're laughing in not in the dream, but I mean in your sleep. You wake up laughing. You can hear yourself laughing.
Yeah,
it wakes you up.
Yeah, I mean, but I was actually physically laughing though. When I woke up, I was physically laughing, but it was so weird because I'd never had a dream like that before. Where I actually woke up and I was doing something in the dream. So that was kind of funny.
I've done that sometimes too, where I wake up to my own laughter. I mean, it's a funny dream, and then it's gone. Fleeting moment. A couple more hours to go of open lines, plus the laugh line, which is 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.